Hey guys, welcome back to episode 4, which is actually really crazy. Like, I can't believe that we are officially on episode 4, and especially because this weekend was crazy. Being a sprint weekend and Brazil never disappoints.
Yeah, it was insane. Oh my God. I always knew that Brazil was going to be chaotic because Brazil is always chaotic no matter what. But I don't think any of us were expecting this.
No, not at all. Like, I knew we were gonna get chaos. I was like, it's Brazil, like we always get something, but there was just something in the air, like for this weekend, like girl.
No, literally. Okay. First of all, even before all that, K-Mag was not racing this weekend, so they subbed Ollie, which I love that Ollie is getting this much time being a reserve driver like this whole entire year, because he's subbed in what, 3 times so far now?
Yes, well, because K-Mag got banned. I believe it was Baku, right? Where he got banned, like his little race ban where he couldn't drive.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's been in the seat a couple times, which, like you said, love that too, that he's getting the practice for next season.
Yeah, but it also kind of really terrified me knowing how this season went, knowing that Ollie was there, being like, oh my God, like, I hope he's okay.
Yes, and like we need to come back to that, because in the race, what happened to him? We just like need to come back to that, because we have to start first with sprint.
Yes. Okay, sprint quality was interesting. Ollie was out of qualifying, like Q1, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, I was watching sprint quality during work, so I wasn't fully paying
Okay.
attention, but there was not really that much that happened. All I know is Oscar ended pole, right?
Yeah, Oscar was full.
Checo's mechanics were like ass to him the last thing, like not letting him, like sending him out so late and not really like. There was a
Yeah.
whole like debate, and I was like, my man was in the trenches this whole weekend.
Yeah, he really was, and I felt so bad for him. And then sprint quality, nothing really much happened besides Ollie getting his time deleted in Q3, and Lewis was out in Q2.
Yeah, I was like, poor Lewis also had a rough weekend.
Yeah, especially in his home Grand Prix too. So yeah, that's basically it really that happened in sprint quality. Sprint race, I didn't really write any notes. All I know is that there was like a little controversy between them switching Lando and Oscar at the very last second before the safety car came out.
Yeah, so my thing is, I do firmly believe Oscar deserved that win because he drove so amazing. I understand why they did it, and I understand why there's team orders. Like, people are getting so mad, and I'm like, guys, stop saying that Lando needs his teammate, because everyone needs their teammate. That is what the second driver is for, to help him, obviously, because he is in the running to be the world champ. So it makes sense, but like, I love Oscar Piastri, and I feel like he did deserve it. And the way Lando was on his comments, I think why people were like very like on the radio, he's like, guys, what are we doing? Like, he sounds so annoyed like the whole time, and I'm like, sir, like, please. And then at the end, he's like, it's not how I wanted to win, but I was like, you were like kind of annoyed that Oscar wouldn't give you the position when Oscar wanted to race. You know what I mean? And I think the whole him switching and then the safety car being called out, I think that was very like sus. Like, how are we gonna spend that long and not call it a safety car? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what kind of annoyed people too. They're like, like it's a little sus. And then also what happens in quali, like just added to the sus of the safety car. But I don't know, because you're a Lando stan, I want to hear your perspective on it.
The thing is, after the whole debacle between them switching and how everyone needs to be a team player, that's not how you win a championship, all the McLaren fans know exactly which race I'm talking about. I think they all had a conversation as to, like, okay, so these are like the last six, now four races, and Oscar is technically the second driver at this point because Lando's second in the driver's championship right now and he has the chance to win it. So I think they had a conversation that whenever the chance, like, they have to switch so that Lando can win, or Lando is like above Oscar so that he can get as many points as possible. So I understand why Lando was so frustrated at that time, because everyone knew they had this conversation before. Like, it was team orders that they'd have to switch so that Lando can get as many points as possible. And I also thought the safety car was a little sus too, them switching right at the last second, like before the safety car came out. I was even weirded out about it. I was just, that's really weird how they knew exactly when to switch before the car came out. But I'm also grateful because that would have caused so much problem. And eventually, even though it did, especially for the race, but yeah, that's my little two cents.
I just think McLaren needs to fix their strategy because if that safety car didn't come out when it came out, they hung out Oscar to dry. Like they hung him out to dry basically because Max was going to overtake Oscar. Like there was like no doubt about it. It's just that safety car like helped it. So like obviously he couldn't because they're making their drivers look bad in this sense. It's been since like when Oscar got his first race. Like we go back to that where it's like McLaren's strategy is just like, I don't know what they're doing down there with their papaya rules. Like they need to have like a really like serious like guys.
I don't really know what papaya rules is. I don't think anyone does. And in the beginning of the season, no one thought that McLaren would dominate and Lando would be second in the Drivers' Championship. No one knew this. Oh, we all thought coming into the 2024 season, Red Bull was going to dominate once again, and Max was also going to dominate. So I'm not mad at this, but I'm also mad at it because McLaren needs to get their team orders in straight. Like, it's so bad. Our calls, it frustrates me watching every single race and knowing that they're not only making themselves look bad, but their drivers. And then it goes back to everyone hating on McLaren fans and Lando fans specifically, which I will talk about more in depth, especially after what happened this race. The hate is.
It's wild. It's crazy, the hate. I saw that and I was like, y'all, chill. It's not that deep. It's not that deep.
It really isn't. So why are you out sending death threats?
Yeah, no, people are crazy.
It's
Like,
unnecessary.
it really is. And that could be a whole other episode on its own, how some fans are just like a little too much, in my opinion. I'm like, it's okay to have like obviously your favorites and all that stuff and have your opinion because your opinion is valid, but some people take it to another level.
Yeah. Which could possibly be our episode next week.
Possibly. But yeah, sprint race happened and then obviously it started raining, so we couldn't watch quali. Like literally I was sitting on my TV waiting for it and they replayed the whole sprint race and me and my sister just rewatched the whole sprint race again. Cause I was supposed to be during quali and we're like, guess it's not happening. Let's go to the store. And then she's finally like, oh, it keeps getting pushed back. And she's like, they're just gonna cancel it to Sunday. And I was like, great. Cause did you hear all those people being like, if they can't do sprint, they're gonna just do what free practice one results were?
Yeah, that's the rule. Technically, like if they cancel quali, they'd go to the free practice one result.
I think that was just made up though, because I think they said there is no like actual set precedent of what to do if quali cannot go down.
Okay, I was watching it on F1 TV. So Ruth, one of the commentators, was kind of explaining it, but I couldn't, not gonna lie, was not paying attention that much because it kept getting postponed. I was like, I'm so bored, guys. But Ruth was saying how, yeah, there is no set rule, but what they've done in the past is that they have used pre-practice one results in place of quali if it did get canceled. So.
I personally, I was saying, I was like, if it did get canceled and they couldn't do it, I would go with either the sprint results or the sprint quali because they technically ran a qualifying. To me, that made more sense than free practice. So I'm like, since you already technically ran one, if it was like, obviously we had quali guys, but if it didn't, I think sprint quali results or like the sprint race. But then someone said they were going to go to leadership standing. So that meant like how they are in like the world championship. And I was like, that's technically not fair, I think, to my lower level drivers who don't get to put points in, but you know.
Yeah, I did hear the driver's stands too, and I thought that would have been completely unfair. So I was not a big fan of that. I was a big fan of pre-practice one results though, because those were interesting. So getting to see that would have been hella interesting because obviously Lando would be first, and then Max would be all the way at the bottom, wouldn't he?
Yeah, because he also had a penalty,
Yeah, he
like
also had a
changing,
penalty.
he had a 5 grid penalty for changing his engine box. So there was that.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have been mad if they did use it, but obviously we did have qualifying, which was interesting.
All I have to say is I wrote this in all caps, Yuki P3. Because I was like, that was everything to me. But we gotta start with Q1 before we even get to Yuki P3. Q1, Franco crashing out, which his wasn't too bad compared to the rest.
Oh
His
my
was
God.
pretty mild. We had a lot of yellows. And then obviously we had the red of Franco. And in that one, he took out Hamilton. Like Hamilton did not make it to like his drive. Like we said, he was just cursed. He stayed in Q1. And I was like, Lewis, please.
I felt bad for Lewis. There was a total, okay, I kept count. There was a total of 5 red flags in qualifying.
Yeah, so it was 2 in Q2, which I was it Carlos first, right? Carlos first crashed out in Q2.
I think so. The order that I have it is probably wrong, but it was Franco first, then Lance, then Carlos and Fernando, and then Alex
Okay.
was the one. I
You see
think.
that one? I didn't remember it because Q2, I don't remember who crashed first, if it was Lance or if it was Carlos, because I just know they both crashed out, and this is where both the Red Bulls didn't make it in because of, I forgot, I think it was Lance's crash. One of their crashes, they spent forever in pulling the red flag, and they let a lot of cars go, like, finish their laps, which I think they were on the, I want to say Max and Checo were on the border to make it if the flag would have been called exactly when it should have been, but they spent like 50 seconds so all these people could finish it. A lot of people were saying so Lando could have finished, but I was like, Lando was already P6. Like, he didn't affect it. Like, yeah, he ended P1, but that really, like, Lando was already in it, guys. Like, you just are just being Lando haters at that point. But I was like, I do know a couple people that probably would have not made it through, because I think Bottas was one of them that made it through, right? No, it was, I think it was both the Alpines made it through, and
Yeah,
then
and it was Bottas because I think he was in Q2 and then he was out, right? Or
yeah, I don't know. A lot of them were able to pass because they like took forever to do, and they were like, oh, they wanted those cars to finish. But obviously, the people, it was Lance's thing. Lance was second. Lance was second. Yeah.
yeah.
Carlos was first. Because they were like, everyone behind Lance was not able to finish their laps. They had to abort it, which was Max, Checo. There was like a couple, well, everyone who got like out were the people who got affected and got messed up by that flag.
Yeah, I think Lance's crash happened a minute or two before Q2 was done. So after that, they just were not restarting it like they did with Carlos.
Yeah. And then Lance was able to move on because his time was like, which I found funny. His time was fast enough to move on, even though he wasn't going to be able to move on. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying with the whole like safety car and then the flag. I think that's why a lot of people are like saying that the FIA was really against Max this weekend, even though it wasn't FIA technically, it was the stewards. But like both those calls were very, very sus to me,
Yeah.
especially because in Q3, once, who was it? I believe it was Fernando, when he crashed, the red flag was taken out right away, and they didn't spend that long like they did the last flag, which a
Yeah.
lot of people were like kind of mad about.
This whole entire weekend was just weird in general. There was a lot of seconds spent before they take out the red flag, the safety cars, like all of that. And then after Fernando crashed, then it was Alex. And Alex, I think, was the worst.
That broke my heart because I even texted you guys. We're right now in California, both of us. So quali for us was 2:30 a.m. We're both awake at 2:30 watching this race. And I'm like, I don't know if you're awake, but we've had this many red flags. Because I didn't know if you were crazy like me to be like up at 2:30 a.m. to be watching quali.
Oh, I'm crazy like that. I will be up no matter what. Anywhere in the world, I will be up and I'll be watching Formula One no matter what.
Yeah, I was like, because at one point, Alex was P2, or like he was P1, and then obviously Lando's time made him P2. And I was like, dude, because he even said on his radio, he's like, I think I could go faster. And I was like, are we potentially going to see an Alex Albon pole? Like, I was so ready for that. I just think it was the nerves and him super excited to the fact where he's like, I could do it. Paired with the rain, I think that's what happened to him. He like got a little too excited of a potential pole. And this is going to be his like highest start to date. Foreshadowing, he did not start, guys. Broke my heart.
I was really sad. When I saw Alex crash, I was really upset because this is like the best he's ever done so far this entire season. And I was so happy for him. And then I thought, oh my God, there's no way that the mechanics are going to fix his car before race time. So I kind of knew in the back of my head that Alex was not going to race.
Here's the thing. I honestly, even like how the commentator said that, like, they might actually, depending on how high he is, they might take Colapinto's car. Like, they did when, like, the whole crash he had and they took Logan's car. So I was gonna assume they were just gonna hang Colapinto out to dry and let Alex drive. Cause I also knew, I was like, that car is like bad. And they only had like, what, 3 hours to fix it?
Yeah, about which, as a Logan Sargeant stan, that race haunts me a lot that they just let Alex drive Logan's car. And the fact that they didn't do that for this race when Alex had the highest start, I believe, this whole entire
I think
season.
it's like P6. I think he ended P6 even with that crash.
So I was actually really shocked when Williams didn't just replace them, the two, Franco and Alex, because they did it once with Alex and Logan. And because they didn't do it this time, I think it just goes to show that Williams just never really cared about Logan.
I think it did too, but also for who I was telling, I was like, I think Alex was actually really injured because when he was like going into like the medical car, he was like grabbing his wrist. I was like, what if he actually was kind of hurt? But since they have a break before their last like triple header, they're just gonna say that they couldn't fix the car. So I'm like, honestly, don't know what happened there, but I do agree. I don't think Williams ever cared about Logan.
Yeah, which is really sad. And if Alex really was hurt, then I hope he gets better and I hope he feels better because that crash was really bad.
It was. I'm like, oof. Broke my heart. Obviously, we had Lando get pole for quali, so that was crazy. And Max started P17. because of his penalty, which I was like, girl, that was already rough hearing that. I was like, and it was raining, and I was like, I don't know how Max is going to be able to do this. Like, the whole time, I was like, he'll get lucky if he gets into the points. That was my mentality going into this.
Yeah.
Not expect the race to happen like it happened.
None of us did. Okay. Obviously, it was 7:30 for us in California. We had to watch the race. We were up since 2:30. I was dead, especially because it was also daylight savings time. So that kind of screwed me over a little bit. And yeah, I was really tired that day, guys. But I woke up just in time to watch the race start. And then somewhere in lap 10, I fell asleep. And then I woke up just in time for everyone to get pulled into the garages because of the red flag. And then all I heard was Lando being like, oh, so everyone's getting a free pit stop. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, I miss a lot. And then after that, again, I fell asleep. And then I woke up and I saw Esteban cheering so loudly. I was like, what happened?
I was like, don't worry, I got you. I have all the notes written down. So we'll start from the beginning. As you know, formation lap going down. And I don't know what happened to Lance Stroll. Like, I don't know what he did. Like, someone please, because I was telling my sister, I was like, I feel bad for those mechanics. They worked their booties off, did not take a lunch, obviously, to
Yeah.
fix a car, and you're not even gonna race. Like, sir, what did you do?
I don't know if it's true, but you know that rumor that his girlfriend broke up with him on his birthday?
Yeah, there is that rumor. I heard that.
So I guess that kind of broke his heart a little bit and messed him up because Lance drove his car into the gravel on purpose. At least that's the rumor that I've been hearing, and everyone's been saying that. So I don't know if that's exactly true, but apparently he did it on purpose because he didn't want to race.
Oh, well, I mean, when you have daddy's money, I don't think you really need a race. But I'm sorry, guys. I love Lance. I'm a Lance supporter. Before anyone like Sente, I do love Lance. But because I do feel like he has talent on his own, but I do feel like his dad helps him a lot. That happened. So then we had the aborted start. So I don't know if you guys saw that, where everyone up to, I think Liam Lawson went, the other cars kind of stalled, and then they went, and then the last people, which was Colapinto, Joe, Bottas, and Max, all stayed. And even Max went on the radio. He's like, we're not supposed to go. That's not an aborted start. Like, you're supposed to stop. So they technically had a false start. And we now know that all they got was like a 5 grand penalty, which is nothing. And I'm a little annoyed of that because I know other drivers who've gotten worse. Also, Mercedes, like, adding something to their tire pressure. They only got, I think, like 5 also. But you cuss in an interview like Charles Leclerc did and you get 10 grand. So I'm like, FIA, how are you finding these people? How are these, like, cussing in a thing is worth more than like tire pressure or like a false start? Make it make sense. You know, I'm not an FIA, I'm not a steward. I can't like make these calls, but I just think it was a little sus. I don't know. That was that whole like little debacle about the whole false start and then the start again.
Yeah, we had three formation laps.
We just got Carlos Sainz sitting in the pit lane waiting.
Yeah, I felt bad for Carlos that whole entire time. The whole aborted start. Okay, I don't blame them whatsoever if they didn't really understand what to do. Because in this situation, I don't think anyone really knew what to do.
I'm like, Max knew what to do. He was even on the radio. He's like, we're not supposed to go. But also, I'm like, we had people who are never really at the front of a thing, and I don't think they understand.
Yeah.
So I do agree. So I don't know. It's like whoever you ask, because people are saying, oh, if it would have been any other driver and not Lando, they would have automatically gotten a penalty. That's what I was saying. That like, if it was Max, he would have gotten a penalty based on how this weekend was working. But also, I'm like, I don't know if that's true, because if that's true, that's messed up.
I do think that too, not gonna lie, where he didn't get a penalty because it was Lando, but if it was anyone else, they probably would have given them a penalty. Because it's like we all know the FIA truly does play favorites and loves the driver that brings in the most money. And at the moment, it is Lando, I believe.
So after the aborted start, I have Nico getting a black flag, Nico Hülkenberg. So guys,
Which.
I have never seen a black flag since I've been watching, and I did some research. The last time a black flag was pulled in like a race was in 2007, Canadian Grand Prix. Like, we haven't had one. And if you don't know what a black flag is, that is when a driver gets disqualified. And because I've only ever seen black and whites, and that's to like warn them that like this is your last warning. Like, black and whites have been handed out so many times, but like a full-on black flag, I have never seen. And I was so confused when it got announced. I was like, what did Nico Hülkenberg do?
I've heard about this, obviously, when I woke up, like after everything has happened. And as soon as I saw the words black flag, I was like, no way they actually disqualified someone in the middle of a race. So I was really shocked about it, especially since you said like we didn't have a black flag since 2007. So that was my first surprise when I woke up and I've heard about that. So what exactly did happen? Why did he get disqualified?
So this is what I was hearing, like what my dad was telling me, and then what I heard from people. So when he kind of spun out, so it was like yellow. So this was right before our safety car happened. So the safety car was taken out because like visibility was really bad. A lot of people, like only a couple people had switched to whites because it started pouring like really, really bad at one point. So he kind of spun out and that was the yellow. And they were just at a double yellow. Like they weren't doing anything. And people came out to push him back onto the track, which isn't allowed at all. So that's why he got the black flag. But then he continued to do a couple laps until safety car got pulled out, obviously. And then Franco switched from wets to inters, I believe, when under safety car came out. And I think he sped up to try to catch up because you could see he was like driving pretty fast and it was under safety car. And that's when Franco crashed. And that's when our red flag was called out. And that's when they were told that Nico got the black flag because he was pushed back onto the track by like marshals, which isn't allowed. So yeah, that's how we got the red flag. And this is when you heard like Lando saying that, because Lando and George, they just went in before to like change to new inters. Like everybody was switching to inters. I think Checo was the first person to switch to wets and it was benefiting him. And then like Hulkenberg and Franco at one point, then he went back to inters. Like a couple of them went to wets and then it started to become like inter thing. And I was like, this is gonna like suck. Like they just turned to that and they're behind a safety car. I'm like, this is horrible for people who went to wets. And then obviously we had the crash, and that's when Esteban Ocon was in the lead. Like at this point, and Max was right behind him. They had not gone to do a tire change at all. And neither had Pierre Gasly. Like those three had not gone. Like obviously George and everyone else went in. And that's when our red flag happens. And obviously everybody goes into the pits and it's like free for all. Like you gotta change your tires. So that's when Lando said his comment, I guess everybody gets a free tire change. Cause like in sense, it wasn't really his fault. Even George, he like cussed and he's like, oh, you know, like a red flag. He's like, I knew we should have stayed out. Like he even called. He's like, I knew. Because in Brazil, you never know. And I think the other teams were waiting for a red flag. I think they knew how, because like we got five in quality. So I think everyone's like, we're going to get at least one red flag. So I think that's why Alpine and Red Bull with Max did not put him in because they're like, we'll just wait it out and see how long. Because their tires were still pretty good. They were waiting it out. And obviously, red flag. So they all got free tire changes, which kind of solidified it. Because I think at that point, Lando was like fifth or sixth. Like he had dropped. And yeah. That's the whole like red flag, Nico getting his little disqualifying, which sucks. Cause at this point, we have three drivers already. We had two did not starts, which was Alex, who did not start. Lance, who obviously crashed out in formation, so he didn't start. And now we have a DQ. And we're not even halfway, guys. I think this was like lap 30 or something. Like we were nowhere near halfway done.
It was because I do remember waking up and looking at the laps, and it was like 30 something, like out of 70, which eventually did go down to like 69, right? Yeah. So I was like, dang, I truly missed a lot. I did hear that George was so pissed about that. And Mercedes just needs to know that they can trust George because this is not the first time that it's happened where he tried to be like, no, I can keep going forward. But then Mercedes is like, no, come in, like you're getting new tires. And then he has to. And then he just gets screwed over by it. So I understand George's frustration. And Mercedes needs to learn to trust their drivers.
I think a lot of the teams though too, because a lot of drivers say one thing and then they're like, team is like, no, do this. I feel like they should trust them because at the end of the day, they're the ones driving the car. They know how it feels and they know like their driving style. So I feel like if they would have waited it out, because I think at this point George was in the lead. I think he had like taken it from Lando. Because I think Lando lost it automatically. Like it was George in the lead. Like he took off. Like Lando did not. Like everyone says, Lando loses, I think only one time he has led from pole. The like nine times he's been on pole, I believe. He's only ever led once. So I was like, Lando just needs to stop being on pole because I think he does better when he's not on pole to like lead.
Yeah, I love Lando so much, but every time he gets pulled, there's a part of me, a really small part of me, that's he's gonna like lead the race. No, that's usually not what happens. And I love him. I'm a Lando stan, but yeah, he doesn't really do a good job at leading the race.
That's one thing I feel like he could improve on. If he improves on that, I think he'll be like unstoppable.
Yes, I agree with that too.
But yeah, so after that red flag, we obviously had the restart. Esteban gets away pretty nice. Max can't like keep up with him. So I think it's like two, three, maybe four laps. of like that. And then we have Carlos Sainz crashing, causing just, I think, like a yellow in a safety car. And then after that restart, that's when Max gets Esteban and is able to like lead from there. Cause I'm like, sadly, it was just not Carlos's weekend. He had two really bad crashes. Like, it really wasn't in his favor.
What's so funny is that everyone that crashed during qualifying are the same people that crashed in the
Yeah.
race. It's sad. I don't know why I said it was funny. Well, I think it's funny that it's just a coincidence that that's how
Yep.
it happened.
It really is. It really is. I think it was just like a foreshadow.
Subtle foreshadowing.
Literally a subtle foreshadow that they weren't going to finish this race. But we had so many yellows throughout the race. Like, we had so many little scares of people, like, literally just like getting off the track and then coming back. Like, there was a lot of yellows. Like, I don't know, guys. I've never seen this many yellows in my life, but we had so many yellows where I was like, I had little panic attacks where I'm like, oh my God, who's crashing out now? And then we had poor Ollie Bearman. He got a 10-second penalty for a crash. This was before, like, when Kyle Pinto was still in the race, for literally just like tapping the back of like Kyle Pinto's car. And he was like, why did I get penalized when Bearman was the one who spun out after that crash? And Kyle Pinto just went like nothing. Like, it was like a slight like tap on like rear end, like nothing big. Ollie was the one who suffered more because he lost more positions. Like, Kyle Pinto kept going like nothing, and he got the 10-second penalty.
I did see that, and I also was questioning it, being like, why did Ollie get the 10-second penalty? Like, yes, he just like
It was a little tap. It was
he was,
not.
yeah, he lightly tapped Franco.
Like,
And
Franco's was not compromised.
no, so why did Ollie get the 10-second penalty? It was so unfair.
Yeah, and then Oscar also got a 10-second penalty for, I think it was like with Hamilton,
Oh my
right?
God, I saw that too. I was like, we're just giving out 10-second penalties at this point.
For real, because I'm like, usually when it's like those things, I'm like, they're usually like 5-second penalties. I was like, I'm like, the stewards are really feeling silly goofy today, giving 10 seconds.
Yeah, like they were just like given 10-second penalties everywhere they go to anyone that just causes a small inconvenience, but they don't think about the driver's safety because the visibility
Was horrible.
was horrible. Yes, I would watch clips back and I would be so terrified. Like, to be honest, I'm so glad I kind of fell asleep because if I was actually awake watching that race, I would have been incredibly terrified for all of the drivers there. And it just makes me think, how do the stewards and like the FIA, like, do they not care about their driver's safety?
I mean, I know they get a vote on it, the drivers, if they want to. Like, they hold a thing before and they like talk about it and like scenarios. 'Cause obviously, weather plays like a really, really big part. Like, if it's like they can't see anything. Like, you could see, you like when we're when I was watching it, I was like, they would go into like these little parts of the track, and I'm like, where did they go? All you see are like blinking lights. Like, you would get the view from like someone's car, and like you'd see the car in front. You can't even see the car in front. All you see is like three little red lights, and I'm like, that is terrifying.
Yeah, and I do know that the drivers do get a vote like before the race actually starts, but I don't think anyone could have predicted how bad the weather was actually going to get as the race went on. Like, it was incredibly dangerous. And I don't know if you saw, but the drivers created an Instagram.
Oh, yeah. My sister was telling me that this morning. She's like, because I woke up and she's like, I don't know if he's up. She's like, you just woke up. They have an Instagram now. And I was like, for what?
Yeah, to protest. Like, all the drivers are banding together.
Love that. So, besides all our things, I had a little count to sum up. Five cars did not finish. Two were DNFs, which were Carlos Sainz, Franco Colapinto. Two did not start, which was Alex Albon, Lance Stroll, and then we had one DQ, which was Nico Hülkenberg, which is crazy to me that we had that many cars not finish a race.
Last year, I think it was six, though, in Brazil.
I think so. I have no idea. That was a lot. Well, I mean, at one point I thought Fernando wasn't gonna finish because he went on the radio and he's like, I'm just gonna finish before the mechanics. Like I said, they worked their booties off to get their cars to work because apparently his back was killing him and you could hear the pain in this man's voice. And I was like, poor Fernando, he only finished it for his mechanics. Because if not, I don't think he would have finished. I think he would have, because like he sounded so much in pain and my heart broke for Fernando. I was like, my poor little rookie is in the trenches right now with that back.
Yeah, it's literally because he's old, but I didn't say
Yep.
that.
But besides that, I loved podium. Podium was amazing for me. Obviously, Max went from P17 to P1, guys. Like, he showed why he is a three-time world champion and why he does not need to change his driving style. Controversy to what Lando Norris said in that interview. I don't know if he said it as a joke or serious, but he's like, I don't need to change my driving style. Max does. But I loved Max's response, being like, I'm a three-time world champion. I don't need to change my driving style, which he proved. But besides Max on podium, we had a double Alpine podium. Esty Bestie back on podium. Pierre Gasly, which I loved. Those pictures of them hugging, People were putting videos of them when they were little kids in their karting days, both on podium and then now. And I was like, a little tear came into my eyes, not gonna lie, it was cute.
So I saw the one video when they were hugging, but they stopped for a moment to just look at each other before they hugged. And I thought that moment was so cute. Like, okay, first, Max winning the race from P17 to a P1 is impressive, especially in the conditions that they were driving in. Hella impressive. I applaud Max for that. Absolutely loved it. One of his best races. And because he hasn't won in such a long time, this win was so special for him. And he was just so happy and giddy. Like, you can see it when he was on the podium. Like, it just made me so happy for him. And then Alpine, I don't think anyone expected them to ever be on the podium. So that was also a shock for me. But just seeing both Esteban and Pierre's faces. Oh, my little heart. I was just so happy for them, especially Esty Bestie. I really love him. He's probably one of my favorite underrated drivers.
I did too. He drove so amazing. Like, if it wasn't for, like, obviously, Sainz's little crash, I think he would have won because I don't think Max was going to risk anything. Because that's what I was telling my dad. I was like, Max doesn't need a win. To win the world championship, he just needs to play it smart. I'm like, I don't think that's why he's not like, and because the weather conditions, I was like, I firmly believe that if that second restart or restart behind the safety car didn't happen, we could have seen Esteban Ocon win. Because I don't think Max was going to risk it because he just needs to finish ahead of Lando to win. He doesn't need a win. He just needed to finish ahead, which he was.
I can see that, and I definitely think I would agree because Max is an incredibly smart driver, so he knows that he doesn't actually need to win the race. He just needs to finish ahead of Lando. So, yeah, I do think that is a possibility that he did think that way too. But I mean, that second crash, the second safety car just came in clutch and
It
it really helped him in. So.
did. But regardless, double Alpine podium was amazing, and I love that. I always love when we have teams that no one's expecting to get on podium to get on podium. Like, that is always my favorite. Even if I'm not like a huge fan of them, I'm like, I love seeing just like the team in the garage. Oh my God, dude, I wanted to cry when I saw Alpine mechanics getting all excited. I was like, they went crazy. They went hard for that one.
They did. Oh my God.
Also, Alpine jumped so high. They went from 9 to 6 in the constructors. I was like, that went wild. Like, they were showing the graphic, and I was like, that goes hard. Going from 9 to 6 is wild, all in one race.
One race was hella chaotic, but it also brought little happy moments to certain people. So it was really cute. I loved it. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at the podium, I'll
Not
say.
even. I was like, that podium was best case scenario for me.
It really was.
I think I just have one last comment because I don't know if you saw. You know how I told you Oscar had a 10-second penalty? At
Yeah.
the end of it, McLaren made them switch, Lando and Oscar. They're like, okay, switch positions because they knew Lando wasn't gonna like get anywhere. But the thing is, I think Oscar was driving faster than Lando at one point. Like, he was just on his booty the whole time. And I was like, why doesn't McLaren just let Oscar go ahead and try to like advance, because he still had a 10-second penalty. Like, that really wasn't going to affect Lando in any shape or form. It probably could have helped Oscar not end that far behind because he lost the position to Yuki. Yuki ended up higher because he had the 10-second penalty. I was
Yeah.
like, that was the one thing where I was like, I get it, switch but positions to get like Lando to get that. But I'm like, even keeping Oscar in front of Lando really didn't affect Lando because he had that 10-second penalty. Like, Lando was going to get those points. Like, what was the need to switch positions?
Yeah, I did see that. I don't know what they were thinking. Like I said before, McLaren's team calls just don't make sense half of the time, and it's so frustrating to hear and witness this happening. But yeah, I don't understand why they made them switch and Oscar lost the position to Yuki. Like, they should have known, they should have remembered that Oscar had that 10 second penalty. So they should have known that it wouldn't affect Lando anyways. Because even if Oscar finished ahead, he would still technically finish behind Lando because of the 10 second penalty. So.
It also put him at risk if Hamilton was driving faster, any of the other drivers would have been driving faster. If they weren't having their little three-way battle, Lawson, Hamilton, and Checo, if they were having the little three-way battle, they could have caught up to Yuki and been closer to him. So that gap could have pushed potentially Oscar even further down. That was one thing I didn't understand, but you know, McLaren. You know, their rules just personally to me don't make sense. But I'm like, you know what? Make your little mistakes. As a Red Bull fan, this helps me, obviously. So I love their little mistakes.
It helps you, but hopefully for next season, they'll learn from their mistakes.
Of
I'm so sick and tired of screaming at my TV, being like, made this mistake before. Why are you making it again? Okay, well, do you have anything else you want to say before we end the episode?
No, I think we covered it all.
We covered a lot. Okay, well, that is all we have for you guys today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. It's probably our longest episode yet. So, yeah, the Brazil Grand Prix was an interesting one. It's always been chaotic, and I think this one is the most chaotic one there was. But that's all we have for you guys. So, see you next week. Bye.